is good, why does he allow evil? If God is good, why does he allow evil to happen in our world? I think that's a fantastic question, but it's a difficult one for us in our small human minds to understand or try to even comprehend. But there's a verse in Scripture. Actually, there's many verses in Scripture that open the door for this understanding, but I want to show you one today. Genesis 50, verse 20. And it's after Joseph, the story of Joseph. He was abandoned by his brothers. They left him to die, and he says these words to them when he sees them again. He says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." And so although evil was done, God's goodness won. Friends, this is the message of the cross. What happened to Jesus that we talked about on Good Friday, it was evil. It was evil in every sense of the way you look at it. It was evil, the pain, the suffering, the abandonment, the agony, the weight of the world's sin. It was meant for evil. The guys who put him there meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. And in fact, we see in Acts 4:12, it proclaims the good of the cross. I want you to see this on the screen. "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." That's the good of the cross. And so Easter is this day that we set aside to celebrate Jesus' resurrection. Many people, they do it with a bunny and eggs. They may do it with chocolate or having a meal with family and friends. And if you're having pie after Easter dinner, don't forget to save your fork, for the best is yet to come. I mean, we do all these things, right? And they're great celebrations of how we just lift up this time of Easter. It's all good. But this morning, we're going to be reminded of the gravity and the gladness of what Easter's all about. Easter is that day on which Christ followers, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It's a cause for celebration. It's a cause for joy in our lives. But we've got to remember the reason we celebrate with great joy. I once heard a story of an 82-year-old billionaire who, when asked what was going to happen to his estate when he died, he said this: "I'm going to keep on working another 50 years. 82-year-old guy. Doesn't he realize that death comes to us all? See, the reality is death is very real. And it's true. Death comes to us all. You probably realize this when someone close to you dies, maybe very unexpectedly. We know that death comes to us all, but we still wonder, is there any hope? We're still wrestling with those questions about hope and purpose. For some of you in the room today, you're as confident as you can be anyway about facing death, because you know that your eternal destiny is secure in Christ. This is a good thing. But I just have a hunch that there's a few of you that are sitting here today and you're not so confident about facing death. In fact, anytime that it's brought up, you get a pit in your stomach, you get nervous, you get anxious. And plain and simple, you'd rather not think about it. In fact, you might even be wondering or a little perturbed that the pastor's up here bringing this up today. It's Easter Sunday, right? This may be because you've never been taught what really happens when you die. But for most of us, let's face it, it's because you or I, we're afraid. That we have that flesh feeling of fear. But you're not alone. Because death is probably the most common fear among all people, whether we admit it or not. But listen, I'm here to tell you today that even though death comes to us all, you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid anymore. In fact, you can be confident about facing death. And here's why: that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He's our resurrection power. He is the promise in the midst of tragedy. He's the hope as death comes to us all. And this is why we celebrate Easter. Because Jesus is our resurrection power, we must believe, truly believe, that death has been defeated. And so what I want to do today is just take a few minutes to explain what I mean when I say this. Because Jesus is our resurrection power, you can know that death has been defeated. So about 2,000 years ago, there's this guy named Lazarus. He has two sisters, Mary and Martha. They're all friends with Jesus. Lazarus, he gets ill, and his illness, it takes a drastic turn for the worse. Jesus, he's away. He hears about Lazarus getting ill, but he decides to stay a couple days longer where he's at, away from Lazarus. His disciples kind of urge him to go, but he's like, no, I'm going to wait. And so what we're going to do this morning, we're going to pick up the story where Jesus arrives at the village of Bethany, which is located just east of Jerusalem in modern-day Israel. And so Martha, she is frantic and not knowing what else to do. And so she runs to meet Jesus as he arrives into the village. And here's what she says. We're going to look at John 11, 21 through 27. Words will be on the screen here. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But even now I know whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And so we see this very important truth today, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. But what does that mean? Have you thought about that before? Jesus is the resurrection and the life. What does that mean? It means that Jesus, he's our resurrection power. What Jesus is saying in this statement is that I hold the keys of life and death. I am the foundation, the power of life itself, and I have the power to raise dead people from the grave. I don't just teach the resurrection, I am the resurrection. I am the very power of God for all of life. Jesus is the source, the provider of the resurrection. Jesus is our spring of life. He's the means to our resurrection and life forever, but only if we believe. Only if we believe. And that's why Jesus asked that question in the text. We must trust him. And so how does this imply that death has been defeated, right? See, when Jesus died and rose again, he defeated the one who had the power over death. That's the devil. And the text tells us in verse 25 that though you die, yet you will live. And so death is very real, yet it's been overcome for those who trust in Christ. For those who aren't following Jesus, death is a very scary thing. And honestly, it should be. If you're not following Jesus, death should be a very scary thing for you because it's the beginning of eternal torture. But for Christians, death is a doorway to eternal paradise. In fact, the Apostle Paul, one of those guys, he wrote some of the New Testament and of our Bibles. He wrote this to the Philippians in Philippians 1:21. He says, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And so Paul, as he sat in prison thinking about death, the death was coming soon, he viewed death as gain. He wasn't scared of death. Instead, he was looking forward to it. He viewed himself as a missionary from the Lord in the world. But when God was going to call him home, he was ready. To most people, this is such a strange, foreign way of thinking. But for Paul, This was reality. It was reality for him because he really, truly believed Jesus. It wasn't just Paul, though. There's another guy named John. He wrote some of the New Testament as well. He hung out with Jesus while he walked the earth. And John wrote this in Revelation 14, 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. See, John, he understood God's plan to be best, even when it came to death. In fact, the Bible teaches that although death comes to us all, death has been defeated. Now, I know it might sound crazy, but you can have confidence when facing death. Because Jesus is our resurrection power, you must believe that death has been defeated. And so I want to kind of break this down a little bit. What does it mean that death has been defeated? The first truth of what it means that death has been defeated is this, that God's plan is always better. God's plan is always better. Always. Because Jesus is our resurrection power, you must believe that God's plan is always better. Look back at the text, verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Did you notice the words, the language she used there? Maybe it conveys what was in her heart a little bit. If you had been here, Jesus... Right? Martha, she's basically saying, Jesus, you were too late. You showed up late, Jesus. If you had only been here on time, if you had only been here earlier, this would have turned out so much differently. Have you ever felt that way in your life? I have. Where were you, Lord? Where were you? You came too late. Where were you when my loved one died? Where were you when my friend's mother who got hit by the car, she got into the accident, the kids, they're there. No mom. Where were you? Where were you when my brother committed suicide? Where were you, Lord? Church, these are the moments when we think God isn't with us, but in reality, he's more present with us than we could ever imagine. His plan is just different. And dare I say it, his plan's better. His plan is better, and this is what he's doing in John chapter 11 with the story of Lazarus. There are times when we respond like Martha by thinking that we could actually come up with a better plan than God's plan. Some of us, we go to prayer and we like to tell God what to do. Or these things, they cross our mind and we think like, Lord, what if I did something different? What if I hadn't pulled out in front of that car? What if I had gone to the doctor sooner than I did and I just listened to that person when they told me to? And so what happens is we let our what ifs channel doubts in God. And the truth is, God's plan is always better. God's plan is always better than your what ifs. God's plan is always better than your doubts. God's plan is always better than your creative suggestions of how things could have gone. And so many times we view this world as the best reality there is. We view what's right in front of us, what we can hold and touch and see as the best reality of all of life. But that's just not true. We need to remember that God's plan is always better. We couldn't have orchestrated a better plan than God. And you see, Jesus, he understood this. Jesus went to the cross to show us that God's plan is always better, even when we don't understand. And so even though it looked dim on the surface, Jesus' death was the best plan ever. And so because Jesus is our resurrection power, we must believe that death has been defeated. Now, the second truth that I want you to see about death being defeated is this, that your body will be resurrected. Your body will be resurrected. Because Jesus is our resurrection power, you must believe that your body will be resurrected. Look at verse 24 here. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again, speaking of Lazarus, and the resurrection on the last day. What some of you may know and others may not know, and I'll tell you here, that there were two highly influential religious groups at the time Jesus was walking around there. You had the Pharisees and you had the Sadducees. The Pharisees believed that there would be a physical resurrection of the dead. The Sadducees didn't believe this. Martha, she's conveying right here in the text that she religiously agreed with the Pharisees, their perspective, that there would be a physical bodily resurrection in the last days. She believed that. Did you notice, though, what I'm just kind of talking around? That there will be a physical bodily resurrection. Like, this is good news, church. You're going to have a resurrected body. This is incredible. And so Martha, she believed this. She had that worldview. She believed that. She had faith in that. However, Jesus' response to Martha shows that simply having the right religious beliefs was not enough, because Jesus takes her deeper here, doesn't he? So Jesus replies to Martha in verses 25 and 26, and listen to what he says. He looks at her and says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She just talked about the physical bodily resurrection. Why is he asking her if she believes it? Martha gave the correct answer, but Jesus, he's challenging her to think deeper. And so, church, like Martha, many of us, we agree with the ideas about Christianity. We agree with some sort of physical, bodily resurrection and the life that is to come. But we fail to really, truly believe what Jesus is talking about here. We may say that I'm going to be in heaven when I die, but church, do you really believe that Jesus gives you a resurrection body? Do you believe that Jesus is the one who makes the resurrection happen, that he's the one who actually gives you your resurrection body, that he's the gateway? See, it's time for us to believe, church, what we say we believe. Your body will be resurrected because Jesus, he's your resurrection power. You must believe that your body will be resurrected. You see, if you follow this story through John chapter 11, I encourage you sometime this week, maybe even this afternoon, go back and read the whole of John 11. I just don't have time to go into all of it today. It's a great story. But you'll discover that Jesus, he actually raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus was dead and Jesus raised him to life. And one of the things Jesus shows us as he raises Lazarus' body from the dead is that he holds the power to provide your resurrected body. Jesus, he did it to show us who he is. That we would sit here today on Easter Sunday and believe, to trust him, to believe deeply in what he's telling us to believe, that he's the resurrection and the life. And he did it to be glorified. I want you to remember Paul, the guy I mentioned earlier who wrote a lot of the New Testament. Listen to what Paul wrote to the first century church in Corinth. He said this in 1 Corinthians 15. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we shall be changed." Church, the dead will be raised. The dead will be raised. Jesus shows us this promise is true because he had a resurrection body after he was crucified and he died on the cross. That's what the open tomb proclaims. Remember Luke 24. I'll read verse 39. Jesus says, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And so Jesus, he's showing the people around him, "I have a resurrection body so that you can know and believe that you will have a resurrection body. Jesus rose from the grave to show us the hope of a resurrection body. And Jesus is the resurrection for us. And so in your resurrection body, you'll experience life without sickness or pains or aches. You'll experience life without injury or disease. Our resurrection bodies will show the fullness of God's perfect wisdom in creating us as humans. We'll see and we'll experience the glory of God as God intended it to be in our lives. In fact, in our resurrection bodies, we'll eat and we'll drink. We'll shine with the glory of God. Because Jesus is our resurrection power, you must believe that your body will be resurrected. Here's the third truth that we've got to believe about death being defeated. It says it in the text, you will live forever. You will live forever. Because Jesus is our resurrection power, you will live forever. Look at verses 25 and 26 again. Jesus, he responds, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? If you believe that Jesus is your resurrection power, you will never die. You'll live forever. I remember being a kid sitting in my sixth grade music class, and I've shared this with some of you before. My mind was just wandering. And I had just this moment, what will happen when I die? Will everything stop? Will I be able to think? Will I stop living? The truth is, if you trust in Jesus as your Savior, once you die, though your physical body remains on the earth and is buried, at the very moment of your death, your soul goes immediately into the presence of God with rejoicing. Jesus, when he was crucified, when he was on the cross, there were two criminals. One on his left, one on his right. One of these criminals expressed faith in Jesus as Savior. Luke 23:42 says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus responds to the man, and he says, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. I want you to notice he didn't say tomorrow. He didn't say next week. He didn't say next year. He didn't say in 100 years. No, in that very moment, in an instant, you're with Jesus forever. And so, church, yes, we'll die biologically. But biological death, it doesn't disturb the continuity of living. Once you believe in Christ, the life that you have in Christ is poured into your soul, and your life is forever. It's eternal. And so if you're in Christ, you've already begun to experience the eternal life that God has for you. Right here, right now, in this moment, and you're never going to die. You may go through the transition of physical death, but that death, it can't destroy the life that Jesus has given you. There is nothing that will separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus is your resurrection power, if you believe this, when you pass on from this world, you will live forever. This is good news, people. You won't live in sadness and sorrow. You won't have tears. You won't have aches and pains. You won't suffer any longer. You'll live in the very presence of God, and you'll enjoy uninterrupted fellowship and glory with him forever and ever and ever. Sarah and I, we have a college friend. Her name's Morgan. When we were at Northern Michigan University, Sarah and I would hang out with Morgan and her fiance, Kurt. They were good friends. We'd go for hikes. We'd go camping. We'd go make pizzas together. Sundays after church, we'd hang out together. Less than a year before their wedding, Morgan found out that she had Hodgkin's lymphoma, cancer of the lymph nodes. And so her many regular trips for chemo were just beginning. I still remember their wedding. To this day, it was one of the most meaningful experiences Sarah and I have ever had in our lives. I think we have a picture we're going to show. Kurt, he wore his cowboy-style tuxedo. Morgan, a simple yet beautiful gown. The day, honestly, was a glorious celebration of their long-awaited union and marriage, but the stench of brokenness was still in the air. Because as everyone at the reception danced wearing hats to make light of Morgan's lack of hair, I mean, she had a box of hats that we all picked out, and we wore different hats to have fun with that. But as we were doing that, we were all thinking about how Morgan had to go back into the hospital the very next day. There was no honeymoon. There was no big celebration after the wedding. For Kurt and Morgan's first year of marriage, they actually spent more days in the hospital than at home, and this became their normal. The hospital was a couple hours away from where Kurt worked, so he'd only go there on the weekends. And Morgan, she experienced extreme suffering, extreme pain. And there were many occasions where she felt frustration toward God. But let me tell you, Morgan's perspective ran deeper than the suffering she experienced. Through it all, her greatest desire is that God would be praised. She realized that life, it wasn't about her. And so she would, every day, she'd get up and she'd be like, who can I share the gospel with? The doctors, the nurses, the other patients. And we get reports back like, oh, I got to share the gospel with this person. And I'm praying for my dad. I just want my dad to know Jesus. And the crazy part in all of this is she was supposed to be the victim. But somehow, some way, God, he gave her strength to endure in order to give of herself. And so it was about a year after their wedding. Kurt called me on the phone, and I remember I was sitting in the living room in the chair, and I just heard him on the other end weep. And he told me what just happened. He said, our friend Morgan, when she knew God was calling her home to go, she was in the hospital room with her mom, and she looked over at her mom, and she said, Mom, would you get the fork? Because the best is yet to come. And so Morgan's mom got her a fork. And as Morgan laid there and clenched her fork, she said, God, take me home. I just want to go home. And it was in that moment that she passed on toward eternity, to eternity with Christ. I share that story with you because in my life, it's pointed me to the reality of Jesus. Time and time again. Jesus lives today to show us that we have eternal life and it awaits us in Jesus Christ as we trust in him. Jesus is our life. And because Jesus is our resurrection power, because the word says he is, you must believe that death has been defeated, truly. And so today, I can't help but ask, I have to ask you this question that Jesus turned to Martha to ask because, I mean, Martha knew the right answers. Many of us, we know the right answers. But the question is, do you believe this? Do you believe this? It's the one thing. It's the one thing you've got to answer in your life. You know, it's great that we all show up today on Easter Sunday for worship. For me to talk about this, for you to listen. We can read what the Bible says in John chapter 11 about Jesus being the resurrection and the life, that he's our resurrection power, and we can walk away, yeah, that was really good. But do you really believe it? In such a way that God is transforming your life, producing the fruit of Jesus Christ in you. Each of us, every single one of us needs to answer this question because death comes to us all. Jesus went before us to be our resurrection power. And although death comes to us all, Jesus defeated death. Jesus, he went to the cross to show us that God's plan is always better. Jesus went ahead of us to provide us with a resurrection body. He went to prepare a place for us. Jesus went before us to pave the way for us to live forever. He wants that for you. Jesus, he didn't only show us these truths, but he in fact is this truth. When he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And so we must remember that the promise of this story is not only for this life. It's not just as we celebrate today on Easter Sunday and we feel good about it, but it's for the life that is to come. See, our hope is not in the fact that Lazarus, he was raised to life. It's not that he walked out of the tomb. It's not that you get to live longer in this world and, oh, praise the Lord, I get to live longer in this world. I get a few more years. I get 20 more years. I get 30 more years, whatever it is. See, church, our hope is that Jesus walked out of the tomb. And guess what? He did it. He really did it, and he did it for you. And so it's not enough for any one of us just to know this, to have the head knowledge of it. We've got to believe. Because Jesus is our resurrection power, you and I must have 100% certainty believing that death has been defeated, and we do as we trust in Jesus Christ. Good and gracious Father, thank you for having a better plan in Jesus. We praise you that in Christ our bodies will one day be raised. And we thank you for the opportunity you've given us to live with you forever. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to be our resurrection power, to defeat death for us. Holy Spirit, pour your peace into us that we may face death confidently in the hope of Christ, who's our resurrection power. Amen.
Would you stand with us as we respond with this song called, Is He Worthy? It's traditionally a call and response song, but we welcome you to sing all the lyrics with us and to think our lives. He is worthy of our entire life, of all blessing and honor and glory, but he's worthy of our lives.
Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?